welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And Trevor, we're finally getting a game after a week with no game, which was very boring, but let's just do a quick reset for everybody. Missouri's 4-0 in the season, 1-0 in the SEC. They're heading into a game today at 4-1 at Texas A&M, 2-0 in the SEC. So I think it's the only ranked matchup on the schedule this week. Missouri comes in at number 9 at A&M's at number 25. So I guess not only is it going to be, you know, finally time for the Tigers to play, but we're going to have a fun one to watch, I think, today.
Yeah, second time this year Missouri's had the only ranked matchup of the week. They had that with Boston College, surprisingly. And this is definitely the point of the schedule that you circled when you saw it come out. Like, sure, this is where the season really begins for Mizzou.
Right.
And I mean, to their credit, they were able to take care of those four games to start the season. A couple of them were a little bit bigger games than you kind of expected coming into the season, with a ranked Boston College team and kind of a revamped Vanderbilt team that gave Missouri a very big scare in their last game out. But you looked at the schedule, you saw A&M week six, fifth game of the season in College Station. Yep. It's like, that's going to be a real test.
And
we're going to learn a lot about this Missouri team in this game today.
Absolutely. I think it becomes bigger even when you kind of look at it from the standpoint of, yes, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on this game. Everybody's, you know, that's going to be the one that everybody's kind of spotlighting on while they're sitting on the couch going, any good games to watch? Obviously, this one will be one that people put in the quad box or whatever, because they'll be looking at this one. But also it becomes just, I think, interesting from the standpoint of, first off, it's the first road game of the year. It's the first test where you're going to go. You're not playing in familiar surroundings where everything's kind of, you know, slanted your way. This one's going to be a true road test.
Yeah, and it's not like their next road game. They're not walking into Massachusetts.
Right.
They're walking into College Station in Kyle Field, that is one of the hardest places to play in college football historically.
Yep.
They went 6-1 at home last year, and even when they were bad the year prior, they went 4-3 when they were a 5-7 team overall.
Right.
So it is never an easy task to go into College Station and pick up a win. Ask the Alabamas of the world that have struggled to win games there, even when they've been far superior teams. So it's a really, really passionate fan base that has a lot of cult-like things that they do that are kind of weird, but it's by no means going to be an easy task, and it's a team that's really starting to figure out their identity in Texas A&M.
Yeah. Sounds like another added wrinkle to it today. It's going to be hot. I mean, they're expecting game time temperatures above 90 with, you know, I'm sure on the field it's going to be probably close to 100 or more. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things where, yeah, you've had your, you know, your last week off to rest and recuperate. You better be ready and well hydrated and ready to go, because that's going to be another factor today.
Yeah, and that's not something you normally worry about at this point in the season.
It's October, and you go, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be 100. But yeah, I mean, that's always something to worry about when it is there, and I'm sure it's been a talking point of the team throughout this week. That's something that you have to preach to kids those age, because if you don't tell them to hydrate, they won't hydrate properly. And this is an experienced Missouri team for the most part. They have a lot of guys that have been there before, especially coming back from last year's team that saw so much success. And from everything I've picked up, it's an extremely focused team.
Right.
So if something like hydration is what brings them down, that's their own fault.
Right. Yeah. So let's just kind of do a quick reset for people who may not be familiar about A&M from the standpoint of, I think everybody maybe tuned in, you know, that week zero game that they had where they played Notre Dame, lost at 23-13, and you know, Notre Dame's kind of been up and down since then, so you're not sure what to make of that. But they bounced back with four straight wins. You knew they were going to beat McNeese State, which they did. Then, you know, they get a 33-20 win at Florida, which is pretty commanding. And it's a little bit closer against Bowling Green, where you go, okay, they win 26-20 at home, and you go, I don't know what to make about that one. And then last week, it wasn't like they blew the doors off Arkansas, winning only 21-17. So you go, yes, they've won four straight to get ready for this game. But, you know, I don't know what to make of some of those scores from the standpoint of, you go, that Bowling Green game really stands out to me.
Yeah, that Bowling Green game is definitely the big one. Old friend Connor Bazelak was really piecing them up in the secondary for a long time. But I think kind of the flip side of that, especially in the last two games, that Bowling Green game and the Arkansas game last week, they were able to find a way to win.
Sure.
They were kind of gritty performances obviously in a scare situation at home against a MAC school. You never want to be in that situation in the fourth quarter where right. you need to put together a drive on offense or defense to win the game. They were able to do that with a couple turnovers late in the game. Credit to them on that. And then last week against Arkansas, I think they give up touchdowns on their first two drives, including like a 70-yarder. So they really got punched in the mouth early by an Arkansas team that's been frisky so far this year. That's another team we don't know a ton about. And they were able to rebound and allow 3 points the rest of the game.
Right.
Defense really rebounded, and this offense that we'll get into here in a minute was able to kind of grit their way through that and play some smash mouth football and pick up a big win.
Right. Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. You never want to say that, a Division I team, especially a ranked Division I team, is ever going to come in not prepared for games. But you go, there is a little bit of a wrinkle today in that you're going to have to kind of prepare for a couple different things in terms of that offense where you go, you don't want to have too much to digest, but in this case, you have a little bit more than you might like from the standpoint of with A&M today, you're not sure which quarterback you're going to get because it sounds like there's a chance that we may see both of their quarterbacks today just because, the guy who's been filling in for the injured starter may play this week, but we'll just kind of throw it to you and go, okay, who do you expect that we're going to probably see the bulk of maybe today?
I would think they're going to throw out the freshman Marcel Reed today. He has played in the last four games at Connor Wiegman?
Right.
Connor Wiegman got injured in that McNeese State game in the middle of it. Marcel Reed has stepped in, and there's been some growing pains, but the offense has functioned better with him at the helm, and you don't often say that for a freshman stepping in, and he presents a lot of opportunities for them to expand their offense because he's so good with his legs.
Yeah.
And that's something that has given Missouri trouble so far this year. So watching on film, preparing for this game, I'm sure they have seen that and seeing what their young QB has been able to do, and that kind of allows them to do a lot more things. And I mean, just looking at the progression of their offense with Reed at the helm, first game, obviously starting a freshman quarterback on the road in the SEC, you're not going to put a ton on his plate. They ran the ball 55 times, only threw it 17.
Right.
The next week against Bowling Green, it was kind of a lot of the same. They ran it 43 times, passed it 29, and that's kind of game flow issue late in the game. They were probably pressing a little bit, and then you fast forward to last week against Arkansas, they ran it 38 times, threw it 22 times. Yeah. So you see the graduation of this kid and the trust that they're being able to put into him, and he's getting more in control of that offense. And like I mentioned earlier, they're able to do more with him. So I would expect game planning and just seeing how they performed, I would expect to see Marcel Reed.
And you mentioned it, they have at least had to prepare for dual threat quarterbacks this year. I mean, I think that's going to become more the standard anymore in a lot of college football, is you're going to have more of those than you might have traditional dropback guys. So you're always going to have to be versed in it, but at least you've seen it a couple times this year and you can go, okay, if we have deficiencies when it comes to trying how to approach those guys, we've maybe shored that up the last couple weeks.
Yeah, and there was some progress shown in those two mobile quarterbacks they played. They played Castellanos with Boston College, and they came into that game, they hadn't allowed a single point on defense all year, and then they get kind of punched in the mouth early in that game where Castellanos is extending plays out of the pocket, and you see Missouri's defensive backs kind of creeping up towards the line of scrimmage, completely ignoring their assignments. They throw it over their heads for deep touchdowns. It happened a couple times in that game, and Vanderbilt was able to kind of do the same, but you saw Missouri's defense as the game went on being able to adjust and kind of limiting those mistakes. There's still been four blown coverages that have allowed 28 points. Drinkwitz made sure to mention that in his press conference this week, so it's a huge talking point for them,
right.
And they've shown progress, but there's definitely still room to grow there.
Yeah. So on the flip side, in terms of the Missouri offense, I don't think we've maybe been totally impressed by how they've played this year. They've had flashes and they've looked okay at times. But again, you do look back to 2 weeks ago now and you go, you remember the struggles in that Vandy game. And yeah, it does end up being 30 points, but it's 30 points across regulation and two overtimes. So you're talking about a Missouri offense that I don't think is completely clicking yet this year. And part of that is I don't think we've seen a great Brady Cook so far this year. But I think just the fact that you, again, this bye week came at a good time, so maybe you can address some of that stuff and you can try to figure it out. But A&M's only given up 23, 10, 20, 20, and 17 so far this year. So it's a defense that has been stingy. So I guess my concern coming into today's game is just you look at it and go, okay, are we going to see Missouri take that next step today? And if so, I'll be very impressed because, again, we're doing it in a hard place against a hard team to do it against.
Yeah, and the two things, and you mentioned one of them, Brady Cook has not played up to the expectation that fans put on him headed into this year after the year he had last year. And the other one, another major talking point of Drinkwitz this week, was the amount of red zone trips that they have had to settle for field goals and ultimately have missed a few of those field goals.
Right.
They have left a lot of points on the table. They've been able to move the ball a lot thanks to their running game that is much better than people probably anticipated coming into the season with two new backs. So they've been able to get down to the red zone, but they haven't been able to piece together the plays they need to get in the end zone.
Yeah.
And that's something that has to change as they head into this portion of the schedule. And like you mentioned about Brady Cook, the alarming part is he's not been able to hit this very talented receiving core down the field.
Yeah.
And that's something that you have to be able to do in SEC play,
sure,
especially if you have Luther Burden and Theo Weiss and Speedy Johnson and all these guys that can take the top off defenses. You only get 3 to 4 of those chances a game, especially against good teams. When they're there, you have to hit
them. Yeah. Your hope as a Mizzou fan is that it's still going to be easier to fix that. It'd be much harder if you didn't have a run game you could depend on. And obviously, Nate Noel has been great this year, and they've been able to run enough that I think they'll still be able to depend on that. So that might make it easier to finally get the passing game clicking, because it's not like it's just going to be like, this is all we do, and it's not working, and we got to make it better. If you at least have the ability to just go, we can do this for a while if we have to, and then we'll fix that, I think that makes it a little bit easier for you, not so pressure-packed for the Tigers.
Yeah, and you should definitely expect some level of regression from the running game,
sure,
as you get into SEC play. Obviously, the defenses are going to be much more talented, especially in that front seven, just bigger athletes. That's harder to deal with. So, I mean, Nate Noel's not going to average 6.4 yards per carry all year.
Right, right.
You're going to expect that number to come down to earth a little bit, but I mean, if that number stays around 5, that's an extremely good and productive back.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is they, especially against the A&Ms, the Alabamas, the Oklahomas that they're going to see, you got to find ways to get Luther Burden the ball.
Right.
The fact that he is not touching the ball 10, 15 times a game is kind of alarming, and I know there's the factor of defenses are trying to take him away.
Sure.
But Kirby Moore is a very experienced and creative play caller. You got to find ways to creatively get the ball in Luther Burden's hands in space, whether that's in the run game, using him like a Debo Samuel that he's been compared to so many times, screen passes, anything, or take the deep shot to him when it's there.
Right.
I know that's not going to be there very often, but on the flip side, obviously, Theo Weiss has been very productive because of it. But in these big type of games, you need to find a way to get the ball in your best player's hands, and everyone knows that's Luther Burden.
Well, and you bring up a good point, is that, yes, when people are good, people try to take them away. But the truly elite athletes, and I think that Luther is one of those guys, he's shown that in flashes, the truly elite guys are still able to overcome a double team, where that's the thing where you go, but the only way you can overcome people trying to take that away with double teams is by still going to them and giving them the chance to beat that double team. Because again, I think he can do that. Now, do you want to just keep forcing it in when there's nothing there? No, but it also means don't go away from it just because. It's real easy to check out of things and go, okay, we've got double coverage on him right there. We're going to make sure to go somewhere else. Sometimes you have to try to force it in there and let him make a play, or hold on to it just long enough for him to beat both those guys, because he can do that.
Yeah, and there's two things that came to my mind when you said that. Obviously, when teams double team a guy, they want to take him away. If you don't try and get him the ball in any level, you're doing exactly what the defense wants.
Sure.
You're playing right into their hands. And the second thing, yes, Luther Burden is good enough with the ball in his hands to make all 11 guys miss if he really has to. And he has not just shown that against the bad teams that they've played, the Buffaloes and the Murray States and the teams like that. He has done that against SEC-level competition, and there's a reason why he's projected as a top 10 pick.
Right.
And it's because he is one of the most electric players in the country with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Find ways to let it happen, and I can almost promise you he's going to make it worthwhile.
Right. So you alluded to this earlier. As far as today's game goes, I'll be surprised if it's a blowout one way or another. I think it's going to be a close game. So what you mentioned earlier does bear some cause for concern in the fact that this might be a field goal game. Well, so far this season, Mizzou's 11 of 16 on field goals. And it's not just been, it's not just the 11 of 16 that worries me. It's just been the atrociousness of some of those five misses that have been really concerning. So if we see this be a one-score game, how nervous should we be today to watch a Missouri kicker trot onto the field with perhaps a chance to decide this one?
A true freshman in a road environment in his first road game
right.
with a chance to win the game with a field goal. Yeah, that's not something I feel entirely confident with.
And
he was able to make the one in overtime.
True.
That was big, but that also came after two brutal misses,
right.
and one of them not even close.
Right.
One you could argue went in.
True.
That was
true.
An argument that was made watching the game here in the office. And
right.
It reminded me a lot of Harrison Meavis' field goal against Georgia a few years back. But yes, that is definitely an alarming thing. And on the flip side, the positive, he's shown the ability to be able to kick the 50-plus yarders.
Sure.
So it's a lot like Harrison Meavis was in his early years,
right.
where
right.
you almost feel more comfortable 50-plus
than
you do 30 yards
yep.
in.
Yep.
And that has to do with the wide hashes that you deal with in college.
Sure.
There's an adjustment level, I'm sure. So yeah, but rolling off your point, it is not something... If Missouri gets in a situation where they're down three or in a tie game in the final seconds, you send out a kicker and it's, I know he's going to come through.
Right,
so
right.
we'll see. And definitely the road environment for the first time in front of 105,000 people, that's going to be something to
yeah.
watch.
All right, I guess that gets you to the prediction point, and I'll just ask you who comes out on top tonight in College Station.
Texas A&M is favored in this game, and I can see every reason why. Missouri has not been tested to the point that they're going to be tested today. But Missouri is the more talented football team.
Right.
They have the offensive playmakers to go down against any defense and score 7 points anytime they touch the football. And the defense has been far better than anybody expected so far this year, even with all the blown coverages. So I'm going to roll with Mizzou, and this is going to sound quite coincidental after the last segment we just had, but I'm going to pick it to be a field goal, 27-24.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.